Hello and welcome to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips. In this episode, we look at what it takes to get to the top of your career. So let me ask you, if you could go back and redo everything, if you could start life again, but knowing what you know now, do you think you could be more successful? The answer is invariably yes, because whatever you have achieved today, no matter how successful you are, it is just touching the surface of what you are capable of. I have asked chairmen of billion-dollar companies this question. There is not a single person, especially the more successful they are, the more they agree with the statement that they could be even more successful faster. So the question is then, what is possible? And only those who risk going too far can find out how far they can go. So if life's knocked you down, if you have failed in a business endeavor, if you even got fired, I want to congratulate you. You took the first few steps towards your next success story. Failure is really a part of success. You have to know where those envelopes are, where those boundaries are before you know how you can reach peak performance. And tonight, our first guest has done just that. He pushed himself right to the brink into bankruptcy, only to bounce back stronger, only to reach up higher than he was before. Our first guest is Mukhtar Hassan, the managing partner of Albarij International. He has over 30 years of business experience. His sweet spot is private equity, buying and selling businesses, turning around businesses. He's going to be full of insights for either someone who's trying to manage their career, manage their business, or even for that high-flying global citizen entrepreneur. Mukhtar will be sure at one interview you definitely don't want to miss. But our second guest is a hotelier, Laurent Vauvenel, a chief executive officer of Hospitality Management Holdings. Dubai is quickly becoming the global hub for hospitality. All over the world is extremely competitive. He's going to be giving us some insights into one of the most exciting businesses in this emirate, that is for sure. Just earlier in this week, I had the opportunity to go to the INSEAD's Global Business Leaders Conference, where they talked about business as a force for good. And it was liberally peppered with some of the region's top chief executive officers. And I had a opportunity to ask one of the top business people in the region what they look for when they're hiring someone. And we're going to have a bit of a competition. If you think you can figure out who this person is, you will win the prize. The way you just write in the name of the person and SMS it to 4001. So SMS that 4001 if you think you know who this is. And if you don't, it's still going to give you some good advice, because he's kind of telling you what he looks for when he hires people. So that can give you a bit of a benchmark of what you should be doing or what skill sets you should be developing. Here's the quote. See if you know who this is.
Well, first and foremost, I look for character. So the way that person addresses himself, the way he sees his capabilities and his and how he has built his leadership skills, how he addresses problem solving, how his critical thinking evolves, how he sees his role and bigger role in the corporation, his entrepreneurial view of his existence, if he is a non-bureaucratic mind, and then education comes later. His experience also matters, but it also comes later. But the character and the love of learning are critical in hiring people that are going to be future leaders in the organization.
So if you know who that is, SMS is at 4001. I love that love for learning and a really emphasis on character. You know, you have what you have because of who you are. So many people miss that fact. And when you talk to the top business people, you'll find them circle back on this point. It really is a universal theme. But enough of that. Let's get moving forward with our first guest. Let's hear a little bit more about his background.
Mukhtar Hassan is the managing partner of Albarij International, a corporate finance firm specializing in corporate turnarounds and based in Muscat. He has been working and living in Oman for more than 30 years and served on the board of several Omani public companies, including United Power, Renaissance Services, Renaissance Hospitality, Muscat Finance, Oman Textiles, and many more. Mukhtar is currently on the board as chairman of Muscat Threadmills. He is the managing director of Gulf Mushroom Products Company and director of Oman International Foods. Mukhtar Hassan is also the vice chairman of the board of governors of ABA, an IB world school in Muscat, and is also a member of the Middle East Advisory Board of the Institute of Chartered Accountants in England and Wales. He's a fellow of the Institute of Chartered Accountants in England and Wales, from which he holds a corporate finance qualification. Mukhtar Hassan is married with three grown-up children and likes to keep fit by playing tennis.
Well, welcome to Eye on Careers, Mukhtar.
Good evening, Shane. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. I mean, what a career you've had. And I guess this all started out in Pakistan.
Yes, that's right. I was born in Karachi, Pakistan, and I did my early education there. My schooling up to my degree as a Bachelor of Commerce.
And did you know early on, did you have a vision of what you wanted to do? I mean, so many people feel that, you know, I don't really have this clear vision of what I am, not really passionate about something. You know, is it about that or is it more about the work ethic? What was the early stage of your journey like?
In the early stages, I was interested in business in general. And I knew I wanted to be in business and commerce, being from a family that my father was in business, in the automobile business. And I felt that I wanted to be in some business in some shape or form.
So it was just really, it didn't really solidify early out of the gates where you knew, hey, this is what I'm going to do. And so how did you move out of, you know, Pakistan? What were those first few steps like?
Well, I originally was planning to do MBA, Master of Business Administration, which used to be the in thing in those days. But then at the last minute, I decided to travel to England, to London, and try my hand with doing chartered accountancy. So I got myself a tourist visa to the UK. I went there without any position in any firm, accountancy firm. And mind you, those days we did not have computers or mobile phones or any of that stuff. And then I took the yellow pages and made about 30-40 applications in London with the chartered accountancy firms for articles.
By telephone or by written letter?
No, it was by written letters, posted it to them and giving my number, and they wrote back to me. I got about 3 or 4 positive responses asking me to come over for interviews.
Okay, so I think that's been a bit lost now, isn't it, that people just use email, but the old-fashioned way still works, right?
Yes, it certainly does. It certainly does.
How when's the last time you had a CV actually snail mailed to you?
Oh, it happens, but not very frequently. We prefer the email now because it's so much faster.
So much faster. I almost think the written word is more effective. But Mukhtar, you've really had a deep business experience, turned around businesses, gone to the brink and back. We're going to look at some of the transactions you've done in just a minute. More from Mukhtar coming up. And again, if any of you knew who that was on the quote, who says he looks for intellectually curious people, looks for people with character, you can SMS us the answer to 4001. We have a few answers coming in. No one's got it right yet. We'll play the clip again right after this break, so stay with us.
Dubai Eye 103.8. Stay one step ahead.
Welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips. We are looking at the story of Mukhtar Hassan, the managing partner of Albarij International, a man whose career spans three decades, focusing on the buying and selling and turning around of companies, a real private equity, one of the original private equity executives in the Middle East. Mukhtar, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Thank you, Shane.
It's great to have you here. So the Middle East was like Hotel California to you, because you could come in, but you just couldn't leave.
Absolutely right. I first came to the Middle East back in 1977, where I was in Dubai with a bank at that time. And I was here for a couple of years. After that, I went to Ras Al Khaimah. A new bank was being set up there, and I was the chief accountant of that bank for a year.
Wow. So, but just to fast forward, you wanted to do your MBA, but life had other plans for you.
Yes, that's correct. Instead of doing the MBA, I went and did my chartered accountancy with the ICAEW, the Institute of Chartered Accountants in England and Wales. It's a professional qualification, and I think it's far superior to MBA. MBA is more theory. Over here with the accountancy qualification, you're working, you're articled with a firm, you go and audit different kinds of businesses and do all kinds of things, together with taking exams and then qualifying at the end of that period.
Hmm. So you really feel that the ICAW accounting qualification was really kind of the bedrock of your success?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think it's a very, very good qualification to have. And you see so many different businesses while you're training. It gives you an idea of how businesses work. You see good ones, you see bad ones, you see well-managed businesses, you see badly managed ones.
And you're like the doctor, because you have to take your clothes off in front of the doctor, and the businessman, you know, has to basically get pretty much raw with this whole business. You see exactly what's happening.
Absolutely right, and they have to be very frank with you, so that you can advise them correctly.
And so you decided not to go ahead with your MBA after all.
That is correct. I mean, once you have a professional qualification like ACA or FCA, you don't really need to go back for an MBA.
I mean, when you actually look at it, you take even some of the biggest success cases, when they actually really hit stride, it's the finance that creates the romance, if you will. I mean, McDonald's, for example, he just struggled to get those franchise model to make sense. And it was the CFO who said, you know, if we buy the land and lease it back to them and make it a real estate play rather than a hamburger play, you're going to make money. Mm-hmm. And of course, we all know the rest of that's history. But is it, in your opinion, after being in business so long, you know, do the real big decisions rest, you know, in terms of leveraging for growth or driving that massive growth, you know, big growth rates, do those rest in the accounting sphere?
Well, having a deep knowledge of finance is very important. If you really look at it, in all your Fortune 500, your FTSE 100 companies, all the number twos are accountants. In fact, some of the CEOs are also have an accounting qualification. So it is quite important in when you are making business plans and looking at strategy and how you are going to progress with the company for the future.
To become a chartered accountant. I mean, in the United States of America, that is definitely the case. I mean, the first CEO of Ford Motor Company who is not a Ford family member was coming from finance, was the CFO.
Right, okay.
Robert McNamara, he's a hugely successful individual, but it's another story. Some people go for the MBA, but I think that's also gives you those macro strategy pieces. But at the end of the day, I think if you don't understand finance, it's the language of business, right?
That's right. I've known many people who've done MBA, and after that, they've gone for the professional qualification of chartered accountancy as well.
And it really suffers if you try to do it later career. It's better to get it out of the way early on.
That's very,
very true. I'm suffering that now. I'm actually doing some accounting work at night, and I suffer from that dramatically. But so after you finish your qualifications, you get into banking.
I was in banking for about 5 years in the city of London. Again, it was an existing bank, but setting up for the first time in London, the London branch. So it was a startup in a way. It was a Swiss bank, and I was moving into Zurich and London, between Zurich and London, with that bank. Then they transferred me to Dubai, and I was here with them for a couple of years. And then I joined a local bank, which was being incorporated at that time, again as the chief accountant. It was in Ras Al Khaimah, a very small town, you can imagine, in 1978-79. Then we moved back to London. I then worked in shipping for about 5 years in the city of London as a finance director. And in those days, computers were just starting to come in. So I started using computers for finance work.
Right, and so you're really moving all over the place, and this is a slow gestation of building the skill set up. It's not happening overnight. What's so many young people today think that they want to get to point X without acquiring the knowledge base.
Yes, that is absolutely correct. It takes time, and one has to persevere and gain as much experience as you can in different areas and different fields, different businesses, because it all helps.
Well, as you know, we're having a competition this evening, and if you know the answer, we're going to play a quote, and some of the listeners have been texting in, and they've claimed that if the so-called quote is more than 100 words, it's a recital or a monologue, apparently, someone has written in. But I didn't, I don't know. You can also send us a note if you don't think this is a quote, but I'm calling it a quote. Here's a new one, since, the last one has gotten a bit of resistance, from our listeners out there. There's been a few, guesses, and, it's not Abdulaziz Al-Ghurair, and it's not anyone from Do, but it is an iconic business person from the region, and let's see. Apparently, some of his relatives know who it is, but I don't, I don't think it is. So it's still up for grabs. This is still up for grabs. And here's the quote. Here's a new quote. When I asked him, what role does failure play in a success story?
Look, I think this is an overblown story, just to make sure that people don't feel that failure is going to be the end of the world, and it is not the end of the world. So failure is trial. So like everything else, you try, it doesn't necessarily need to be a major failure. So a series of trials that give you a series of learning experiences through things that don't work. I mean, let's not call them failure. These are experiences that you need to carry with you. This is part of your education, so that you know and build the organization of the future or your own personal career. So don't afraid to try. Don't be afraid to try. And use, if you want to use the word failure, as a learning experience. Then you're going to be a much more knowledgeable and a much more capable person in building your career or building your organization.
Well, if you know who that was, SMS us at 4001. And I'll give you another clue. The quote was taken from the INSEAD's Global Business Leaders Conference, where they were talking about business as a force for good. This is where this was one of the CEOs that we interviewed at that conference. But failure tends to be the stepping stone to success. I had Yves Mongar on, who's the chairman of Nestle Middle East, and he said, you know, the people who make it to the top, you know, instead of seeing stumbling blocks, they see stepping stones. And you can almost see that in this gentleman's description here, where he's saying it's a learning experience, it's trial. Don't even call it failure. He is actually uncomfortable with the word failure. It doesn't exist for him. But what's been your relationship, Mukhtar, with this old shadow to success failure?
Well, there have been some failures, and it is a learning experience, and one should learn from these experiences.
What? But I think you went bankrupt one time. I mean, this is what I was.
not
you're like, I know he's not going to bring that up on the radio.
Not
yeah,
quite.
Yeah. We want to hear the lows. We want to hear. We want to hear when you were down and out.
I had a company. I started a company in the UK while I was in London, which was a chauffeur-driven car hire service.
This is, you quit the shipping company to do this?
No, this was before, this was while I was with the bank. At the same time, I had started this company with some other partners.
Okay, so you were like that classic Middle East style, I have two business cars, I have two business things.
That's
okay.
Correct. And it did, it went on for about 3 years. It did very well in the third year. The turnover was almost £250,000, which was a lot of money in those days.
Mm.
So what we decided was to beef up the business. We were getting a lot of business from the Middle Eastern embassies for their guests. So what we decided to do was beef up the business. We bought some new fleet of limousines. We hired drivers and stuff like that. And then, unfortunately, there was a documentary on the British television, which was called Death of a Princess at that time. And it was to do with this region, and it was not liked at all. And that year, the Middle East guests decided to boycott the UK, so nobody turned up in the summer. So we had to pay the installments for these cars, and in the end, we had to pay sell the cars, and I had to close that business down.
Well, you know, all in on the table, all the chips in, and the market took a turn, leaving Mokhtar in a precarious position. We're going to talk a bit more about what he did and what happened. And for those of you not listening, Mokhtar was actually became an Omani citizen, one of the few people to be granted such rights. So this may have been a low point, but there was huge successes on the horizon, and we're going to get to those in just a minute.
Dubai Eye 103.8, keeping you up to date with what matters in the UAE. Stay one step ahead.
Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we're listening to the story of Mokhtar Hassan, a businessman who started life out in Pakistan, and then with a vision of doing his MBA, ended up coming to London, but decided to do his ICAEW qualification instead, which, in his opinion, has served him well and something that he holds as a, even a higher qualification than an MBA, as finance is the language of business at the end of the day. Mokhtar, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Thank you so much, Jay.
So we were just talking about your first foray into the front lines, or getting the wind in your face in business, which initially was hugely successful. You started a limousine company or chauffeur company.
Mm-hmm.
And in London, generating some significant revenues, and then you overinvested, and the market turned, and you were left holding the bag.
Absolutely right, yeah.
And you didn't sleep well during that period, I'm sure.
No, not at all.
So basically, you had to wind the business down.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so what was the big learnings there as you walked out of that?
Well, the learnings there was that you rely on certain limited number of customers, and things can change without any interference from your side, totally out of your control. So one has to be very, very careful
about what you do. So then, what did you? How did you pick yourself after that? But you still had a job at the bank.
Yes, I was still with the bank, and it didn't interrupt my career because I had another partner in this business who was the working partner, and I was sort of guiding him from the back on the financial sides.
Okay, so then what happens after that?
Okay, in 1983, I decided to come to Muscat to set up a business over there together with my two brothers-in-law, who were Omani, and I have never looked back after that.
And that's it?
Yeah, we started a company, and it grew very nicely over 15 years. We had about 30 companies in the group. And then in 1996, we took four of the largest of these companies and floated it on the Muscat stock market.
Wow.
It was the first time a family-owned company went public in the region. And it was very heavily oversubscribed, and it's done very well.
You had equity in that?
Yes, and it's...
So
it's,
you made millions on that deal. next question, please.
And it's in the top 10 public companies on the Muscat Stock Exchange even today.
Wow. Is that the
I was the CEO there for a couple of years, then I stepped down, remained on the board, and then I started a private equity fund in Dubai with a couple of partners, and we did 5 or 6 transactions in the retail trade, which are all around you. If I take the names, you will know what they are. And again, that was very successful. And then we sold that fund to HSBC, and it became HSBC Private Equity. And that's when I started my company, Albarij, which was about 10 years ago, 12 years ago. It was in the early 2001.
Okay, interesting. So when you do these deals in private equity, I mean, every MBA, they graduate and they only do two things. They become a strategy consultant or they go into private equity. And very few of them make it in private equity. Why is that? And what do you think are some of the key things that you need to be successful in private equity?
Well, in private equity, what you're really doing is buying and selling companies. And when you're buying a company, you have to be analyze it both financially as well as strategically, looking at the business and making sure you don't overpay. And you have to have a strategy in mind on how to grow that company. And you have a holding period of 3 to 5 years, after which you exit. And when you exit, you will either float it on the stock market or you will do an industry sale. And that's where you make your money.
What was the toughest turnaround you ever did?
Oh, there have been a few. There's one in the agriculture field. In fact, there were two separate farms that I was involved with in the agriculture field. Those were difficult to turn around, but both of them turned around very well.
And so you bought this farm. What was the problem with it? I mean, why was it not flying? And what gave you the confidence to say, hey, here's a guy who believed he knew so much about the business. He put his whole life on the line, and he's failing. I'm going to come in here and win this battle.
Well, I looked at the farm. Basically, in this particular case, in this farm, they were having problems first growing the produce, and they were having problems selling them at a profit. But they were not only selling fresh, but they were selling processed. They were also processing the produce. So when I looked at it, I thought processing was a waste of time and the money was in the fresh. So their percentage of fresh was very, very small compared to what they were processing. So one of the few things I did was close down the processing and started selling, concentrating only on the fresh market. So our turnover went down, but the profits went up. And today it's one of the most successful farms in the region. It's doing very well, and it's a public company, listed company on the stock exchange as well.
Is one of the problems that, you know, the entrepreneur is too emotionally attached to an asset that they can't make those tough decisions, like, okay, we're closing down this division. It's very difficult for the spearhead or the trailblazer who actually set that up to take it apart.
Yeah, in some cases, yes, that's true. And in other cases, owners get very possessive about their companies and they don't want to take advice, and it's spiraling downwards. And until somebody comes in and rescues them.
As they say, you know, what can't be measured can't be managed. And sometimes, you know, when we look at a business, the first thing a new CEO or a new business leader does is change those KPIs, change the MIS, change the management dashboard. And the second you move from, you know, what you're measuring, you know, are you measuring how many pounds of produce are moving out of the farm, or are you managing your metric margin versus top line? Do you think that this is also one of the determinant factors on reaching peak performance?
What I normally do when I'm looking at a company, a sick company, is to see how quickly can I stop the cash drain. So you look at cash flows. You look at what you're selling at what prices and how much is it costing you to make that product. And if you can plug that cash drain, the sooner you can do that, at least you are on even keel, you've stopped drowning, And then you can look at improving things and start making it profitable.
So number one for you is the cash flow.
Yes.
And so if the margin's not there, the costs are too high and you need to pull out and focus on the high margin.
Correct.
High margin goods.
Yeah.
So and then at what point do you know that, okay, we need to either IPO or flip this business or go for another round of funding? What's really the road to growth?
Well, for an IPO, it has to be a successful company with a successful track record, which you are selling to the market, and then you would get a good multiple on the share price, so you can make some profit on sale or on the IPO. And also the investors, the public that's coming into the company, are coming into a good company, and they will make good dividends in the future.
Okay, so you know the IPO is only for the successful business, and anyone else should be looking at either additional selling of additional equity or taking on debt instruments.
That is correct. Yes.
Some people say if you're not leveraged, you're not trying to grow fast enough, and other people see debt as the devil incarnate. Where do you sit on that? You know, what's the right level of gearing for a business? Should people be using leverage, or should we just stay clear of it and use, you know, sales-driven growth?
No, I think leverage is very important. Leverage enhances the return on your equity. I always say equity is very expensive. And when you have equity, you have to pay service that equity by paying dividends to the shareholders. Whereas with leverage, you're borrowing from the banks, you pay the interest, and that's it. So to enhance your returns to the shareholders, you have to leverage. How much you leverage, how you leverage, that depends on the nature of the business. And how consistent is your income, your production, etc.
But at the same time, you know, your dividends, if you don't pay them, your shareholders may get grumpy, but they're not going to throw you in jail like could happen here. But before you answer that, we should just be taking a quick break. We're going to be right back with Mukhtar's insights in how you drive a business to peak performance and how you get those growth rates that are going to beat the market.
Dubai I-103.8, award-winning news, business, sport, and lifestyle coverage. Stay one step ahead.
Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. We're listening to the story of Mukhtar Hassan, one of the veterans and original private equity players here in the Middle East. His career has spanned two or three continents, and has been responsible for a number of IPOs in the region, creating many private equity funds, and is also the spark that has even started some other private equity businesses that have spun off out of the work that he's done in the region. Mukhtar, welcome to Eye on Careers.
Thank you so much, Jay.
Just before we get back into some of these insights, we are having a competition, and if you know who this is, I'm just going to play a clip, and the clip was, what do you look for when you're hiring someone? You know, what do you look for when you're hiring someone? I asked this is one of the iconic business people in the region. If you know who this is, SMS to 4001. And you get a free executive coaching session that will help drive your career to new heights, free one-hour session with one of the region's top career coaches. So here is the clip.
Well, first and foremost, I look for character. So the way that person addresses himself, the way he sees his capabilities and his... and how he has built his leadership skills, how he addresses problem solving, how his critical thinking evolves, how he sees his role and bigger role in the corporation, his entrepreneurial view of his existence, if he is a non-bureaucratic mind, and then education comes later. His experience also matters, but it also comes later. But the character and the love of learning are critical in hiring people that are going to be future leaders in the organization.
Well, I love that love of learning, you know, and you know, one of the things, Mukhtar, when we look at your career, is that it's really grown over time. So we were just chatting. So if you know who that was, again, that clip was taken from the INSEAD Global Business Leaders Conference, Business as a Force for Good. And he was one of the speakers there, actually, at the conference. So if you know who actually said that, please SMS the name to 4001. So Mukhtar, we're just talking about, you know, what type of leverage or what, you know, what kind of toolkit, first of all, you're going to use to accelerate your growth. You know, you've started a business, you found your cash flow, you know that you could replicate this, but you need that growth. You said equity's too expensive.
Yes, that's correct. And I want to take you back to your comment that if you don't perform, what can your shareholder do? He won't throw you in jail, but he can sell your shares. And if your shareholders are selling the shares, your stock price will come down.
Right, right. But if you're not publicly listed...
That's a different matter then. It's a private company, then the private owners can do what they like, but they could have disagreements and one private individual may want to get out of the business because he's not getting enough money out of it.
Sure. So we have a few people writing in, and I think one individual is saying that they have bought a restaurant in the region and it's failing, and they want your advice as to what they can do. I mean, probably get a new chef. You know, I don't know. What is it? If you you can call us at 04-423-1010 if you want. You can call us at 04-423-1010 or SMS us another question at 4001 and we will tackle it for you. A few more guesses as well as to who our mystery quote is from, but again, missing the mark. It's not Ali Al-Bakr from Qatar Airways. What about the beverage business? Do you have experience in food and beverage?
Yes, I do, actually. And as far as restaurants and food and beverage, etc. is concerned, the three most important things for them is location, location, location. And if you're not located properly, you won't have the sale. So that's very, very important. Then you have to have good food quality, good service. And there is no reason why the restaurants should not do well.
It's good food. But the thing is the service. You know, when you go, if you go to, you know, like where I'm from, they say, hi, how are you? You know, if you go to a restaurant today, he's like, hi, how are you? They're like, well, that's not on the menu. I mean, I don't know what to do. They can't have a you can't have any kind of connection with the people or the service. It's just that bad. I mean, isn't that where, you know, they're really missing the mark?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely right. Service, the quality of the food, as well as the location. Because if you're not located correctly, nobody will come to you.
The location as well. But location. No, there's kind of some of these little restaurants, like when Smiling BKK started, they were like in this little, you know, like you literally have to have one of your friends take you to the place. You know, now they've grown and they have locations that you can actually see from the road. But when they started, it was like, it was nowhere, right? I mean, isn't a good restaurant one of those things that you could get away with being off the beaten path?
Not really.
No.
You know, no. It's very, in very, very exceptional cases, maybe one or two in 100, you might be able to get away with that. But generally, no. It's very, very important.
So what's your final, you know, your advice for people who are, you know, out there trying to find their stride?
Well, my final advice to them would be to work hard and persevere. They have to persevere. Things don't happen overnight. They cannot achieve results overnight. And you have to work hard and carry on. And if you persevere long enough, things will work out right.
Isn't it that, you know, the way, this is, I have this formula to achieve anything in life. This formula works, but most people won't use it. Right.
And absolutely.
I got it from Arthur Berman, who you can Google on YouTube, and he lost like 180 pounds in 10 months. So it was crazy. But he just says it's simple. Start, don't quit.
Absolutely right.
So people will start on the path and then they give up, right?
That is correct. That is correct, yeah. And perseverance is so important. eventually, if it's a good idea, if it's a good business, it will turn around and it'll make money.
Ah, okay. And we're getting a lot of people coming in on the quote. So we're going to release that in the next segment. So just stay tuned. We possibly do have a winner here. We can pick more than one winner. So we're a bit generous this evening, seeing as the Islamic New Year's coming in. So I figured I should have been a bit inspired to. I don't know why that makes me more generous.
That's excellent.
It's not related, but Mukhtar, I mean, I could spend so much more time on really getting into the basis. Maybe I can give you the number of the guy who has the restaurant that's failing. I don't know if you wanted to follow up with him.
Sure, I don't have a problem in doing that at all.
Yeah, well, thank you so much, and hopefully we can have you on again sometime soon.
Sure, Sean, thank you very much for having me. I really enjoyed this show.
That was Mukhtar Hassan, the managing partner of Al-Barij International and one of the icons of the private equity market. He's one of the original pioneers of the business, and we just didn't really have enough time to get into all the transactions and deals he's done, but some really good advice there. If you missed the session, you can get it on our website on dubaieye1038.com/iOnCareers. All the podcasts are there.